My wife, she cooks dinner for my mother every Sunday. Just almost without fail, unless there's something special going on. She fixes my mother dinner, and I take it down to her, and I tell her I cooked it. And she knows I'm lying. You what? Yeah, you wouldn't be here if I cooked it, would you? You'd be dead, probably ptomaine poisoning, Dad said. Paul said, always sorrowing yet rejoicing. And I want to say this, as much as we're grieving today, and I don't know whenever I've grieved so much, but the best way we can honor Ethan's life, and Lane and Sonia text me this morning to this effect, was that we would go on with the gospel and go on with the Lord and keep preaching the gospel and keep reaching people for Christ and keep living for the Lord. So that's honestly the best way that we can honor Him. But don't be afraid to grieve and don't be afraid to cry. And this church has been very blessed down through the years. We've had, you know, not that many young people lost, but some. This is just a rough one, and there's some reasons for that. But in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 18, I'll give you just a little bit of time to be there. 1 Samuel chapter. There's just been several, but Brother Josh Friend just told me back in the foyer that when the Lord took Clint, his brother-in-law, Rachel's husband, home, he said the thought occurred to him that when you go out and pick flowers, you don't look for the old wilted ones. You look for the prettiest flower and pick the prettiest flower. And, you know, in 1 Samuel, I just want to, I was at my mom's. And as she was getting ready to come in and getting up, and it takes her a while to do that, the Lord just brought this, I was walking through the kitchen, the Lord put this verse on my heart, and I just wrote down a few thoughts today pertaining to the situation that we're in. And I want to bring this to you in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, and verse number 18. You have here two young men, one is named Jonathan, the other is named David. And life is beginning to change from a lot of great things and exciting things to some rough things. Life's beginning to set in. And of course, you know, Saul began to want to kill David. But David and Jonathan's heart were knit together. Jonathan was Saul's son. And they're having a meeting. And they realize that things are not going to be the same. And they realize that they may not see each other again. And Jonathan asked David to make a covenant with him about his descendants and his seed. And David made that covenant and kept that covenant. And Jonathan was killed in battle with his father. But Jonathan says something to David that has, when I read this verse, and I think about people that maybe attended church here at one time and do not, I always think of this verse in verse number 18. It says, then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and here's what I want to preach on today. Thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. Thou will be missed, because thy seat will be empty. I've looked out across the congregation in the last 40 years, and I looked to see where somebody used to sit. And they're not there. And you never get over missing them. I don't care. If you love people once, you've always loved them. Amen. Love never fails. Amen. That means that if you ever loved, you still love. And but today, this Sunday, in this church, there's a seat that's empty. And he's going to be missed. And I want to just give a few reasons why Ethan will be missed. And I don't say this to... I don't believe in exalting man, but I believe in exalting what Christ has done through people. Amen. Because of them allowing Jesus to work in them. And I want you to take this today to ask. I ask myself, sitting down there in the chair at Mom's place, sitting in my dad's old chair, and I pulled out this lesson that I had and I just started writing, and I asked myself, could this honestly be said about me if my seat was empty today? And the first thing I want to say is that he'll be missed because of his presence. Each of us have a presence. You say what you want to about it, but there's a presence of people. And your presence is important. My mom asked me, my mom is not always able to remember everything exactly, and she asked me 3 or 4 times, now he went to church up there, right? And I said, yeah, Mom, ever since he was conceived in the womb. And I'm going to miss him because of his presence. I'm going to miss him because I would go back maybe through there and he might be standing against the wall or talking to some other young person or something, but he would always smile, always pleasant, always had a good attitude. Wasn't no subsurface going on, no junk going on. He was just who he really was. And I want to tell you something. I'm not up here this morning to fly somebody's basket. And I'm going to say things. I mean what I'm telling you. His presence was real. Well, he was real, okay? But he's going to be missed because of his presence. Let me just say something to you. Would people miss your presence? Are you having the kind of effect on people's lives and your testimony that your presence would be missed? And that was if that seat is empty. The second reason that he'll be missed is because of his love for Christ and the brethren. This boy had a love for Jesus Christ. And it's just abiding, quiet, steady, constant love for Jesus Christ and the brethren. And he'll be missed because of his fellowship. I got tickled, but you know, I just enjoyed watching him and all these young people, these good friends, visit together and fellowship together. And Ethan liked to have fellowship. He was down there because he liked to have fellowship. And he talked to me Wednesday night about, you know, having some volleyball games with all the young people and young couples and stuff because he liked to have fellowship and he understood the value of fellowship. And then we're going to miss him, and I'm going to miss him terribly because of his servant's heart. Now, I'm going to say something to you. I want you to get this. You will miss 90% of your life's existence. So, I'm just going to tell you honestly. You need to get over your self-centered, stupid life. It's all about getting people to look at me and feel sorry for me, and I'm going through a rough day. I want to tell you, Olive, you ain't had a rough day. You ain't had a rough day until you've had this. And a servant is not worried about wanting everybody to look at them and feel sorry for me and poor me and woe is me and all that. I'm sick of that. America's full of that garbage out of hell. And I'm going to tell you right now, you walk into church, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, he's going to be missed because of his servant's heart. And he would come in here not looking for what he could get out of things, but what he could do to make this service a better service, this church a better church, and this fellowship a greater, what he could do for Jesus Christ's sake. And he worked in that booth up there. And I mean, while I'm preaching every Sunday, by the way, when those scriptures come up on the wall, Joel, am I not telling the truth? He was the one that did that most of the time. Is that true? That's right. Not all the time, but a lot of the time when you looked up and saw that scripture on the wall, that was that boy doing that. And I've seen him when I'm preaching going. I mean, he was trying to keep up. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to miss 90% of your life if you don't get off this money trip and this possession trip and this glorify me trip. You're going to miss 90% of your whole purpose of life, and you're going to go into eternity wondering what was it all about. Amen. And I'm going to miss that boy, 16 years old, who just turned 16 the other day, who already had it figured out that you know what life's about? It's about serving God and serving people. Amen. And I'm not going to church to see how much I can suck out of other people and how much I can bleed out of other people's spirits and hearts. I'm going to go to church to see what I can do to further the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's why I had the peace, and that's why I had the joy, and that's why I had the smile. Yep. Because he serves. And as I said, I didn't know till last night that during the week, at his house, he uploaded the messages on further social media platforms to try to get the gospel out to people, not just the services here at church. He was just doing that. Nobody asked him to do that. Nobody said, hey, what? I mean, he's thinking about how can I get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to other people? And I'm just going to tell you something. I'm not going to, I'm mourning and I'm grieving and I'm telling you, I am deeply, deeply hurt. But you know one thing I've already made my mind? I'm going to use this boy's life and this boy's death as a launching pad to go further for Jesus Christ and do more for the Lord than we've ever done before.
Amen.
And I believe that's, if we want to honor Him, I believe that's what we ought to do. I'm telling you right now, you know, yes, we can grieve and yes, we can be sorrowful, but I tell you, we need to be thankful for a young man like that that was in this church. Amen. And I'm going to be thankful for that. I'm going to miss him because of his service. I'll be honest with you, Joel, and you know, I thought, who's going to take his place up here? And because Joel's back there this morning filling in for him. We're going to miss him. There's an empty, thy seat will be empty. And then I'm going to miss him because of his sweet spirit and attitude.
Yes.
His grandpa told me yesterday evening, I'll just share a few things with you. His grandpa Marvin told me that every haircut the boys ever had, his grandpa gave it to him. That's something when you're 16, letting your grandpa cut your hair. When I was 16, I wouldn't let my dad touch my hair. He wanted to, I'm sure. But you know what that tells me? Marvin told me, he said, Reggie, in 16 years, never had a cross word with that boy. He never did anything to act disrespectful, dishonoring, puffed up and ticked off and smart mouth and smirky mouth and all that kind of junk you see all over the United States now. Just a blessing to his grandpa. And he wasn't putting on the dog either and talking about stuff that wasn't right, true. He was telling the truth last night. And I'm going to miss him because of his servant's heart. And I'm going to tell you, them kind of boys are hard to come by. Maybe that's my selfishness about this whole thing. Lord, we had a boy that was willing to do anything he could do for Jesus' sake in this church, and he's gone. Maybe the depths of my depravity are deeper than I realize, but I'm going to miss him for his sweet spirit and attitude. Boy, it's just a joy to be able to walk up to a guy, shake his hand, and things are real. It's not a bunch of junk and phoniness.
Amen.
I'm going to miss him because of his piano playing. I don't know how many of you knew, but He just, and I hope somehow or another we can have it, but he didn't like to, he taught himself how to play the piano. And he just played on the most beautiful pieces and let his mother record it the day before. And she's got it. He didn't like to be recorded. He let her record that day before. And I mean, they played it last night. And I tell you what, just break your heart. Just the most beautiful piano music. Now, I'm going to miss him because he'd come up here and play the piano. You know, it's a fight to get on the keys around this place. Amen. There's only 42 people play the piano around here. We need a piano everywhere, you know. You got to. But I want to encourage you. Hey, you get down to church, run up here and be the first to it. Amen. Grab the other one. Amen. We want you to be ready. But what a joy that boy was. I mean, play that wonderful music and stuff, you know. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. My mind just went, I was up by my shop. I'd been working outside all day yesterday, and I was really tired, and me and Karen was just getting ready to go down to the pond and just relax a little bit and spend a little time together. Phil called me. I knew my wife was somewhere out there. I mean, I hollered to her. I said, and she knew when I hollered something bad wrong. In my mind, when he told me, he said, Reggie, you didn't make it. He's gone. Phil, I know that's a hard call to make. And Phil told me, he said, Reggie, I don't think Sonia and Lane knows yet. They know something's up, but they don't. I don't think they know. And I said, Phil, I don't want to be the ones to have to tell them. And Phil said, Reggie, I don't either. And I knew that I knew I ought to, Phil, but the sheriff actually got there before I did. But you know what I thought about? Brother Josh, I'll tell you, this just killed me. You know how your brain will do imaginations, and I'm seeing, you know, because I know that trail, and I know that cave, and I know all that. I know where he was at. I don't know specifically the spot, but I know it pretty good. Been there a lot of times. It's actually not a half. It's not where you get out of your car. It's not a half a mile from the church that I wrote the book about, Beechwood Cemetery and Church. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to be unkind, But in my mind's eye, I visualized him laying there in those hands that was playing the piano. Won't play anymore. And it just made me want to vomit. I mean, I just nearly got physically sick at my stomach about all the ability, the talent, the willingness. And Lord, it's gone. I'm going to miss him because of his music. I'm going to miss him because he'd get up and sing. I'm going to miss him. We're going to miss him because of his example. The Bible tells over in Timothy, be thou an example to the believers. And that boy was an example. I want to ask right now, if Ethan Lakey was an example to you, young people, would you please stand? Would you just stand? If he was an example to you, would you stand? From the back all the way across here. Dean, you're right. Wasn't just young people. Whose lives have you touched by your example? You may be seated. I'm going to miss him because of his kind spirit. I'm jealous of people like him. Just so kind. So kind. I'm going to ask some of you boys that knew him better, Tobias and Caleb, and I know you guys, was he ever unkind? I don't ever remember him being unkind. I don't ever remember him acting like he's ticked off the world. And the poor boy was home educated, bless his heart. He just didn't know what's going on out in the world, I guess, enough to be unkind. Isn't that the truth? I am so sick. And here I am being unkind. I'm so sick of this perverted attitude the world has. That somehow or another you're going to miss out if you don't go to public school. Somehow or another you just ain't going to really have a full life. That is the biggest lie out of hell I've nearly ever known in my life. Now I know that everything ain't perfect. Now I know a lot of things don't turn out like you'd like. But I'll tell you this right now. That's a bunch of nonsense. That boy was more mature at 16 than most of these clowns are going to be mature at 35, 40, and 50 years old. And that's just the honest truth. I'm going to miss him because of his sincerity. He wasn't a put-on. He was genuine. He wasn't trying to impress me as a preacher. He wasn't trying to impress everybody else. Just doing what God called him to do and being who he was through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know his mind. I'm sure he was tempted. I'm sure he's going through trial like anybody else. But I want to miss him because of his purity. If I've got any sense about who he was, my boy had a pure heart. I didn't say he wasn't tempted. We're all tempted. But his spirit was pure. You didn't sense any defilement. You didn't sense any vileness there. You didn't get the attitude that he was watching pornography on the sly. I'm going to miss him because of his pure spirit, pure heart. I'm also going to miss him because of his manliness. In an age where masculinity is trying to be destroyed, he was a gentleman and a man. He dressed like a man, looked like a man, and acted like a man. I stood back in the back today while the young people got up to sing, and I looked at you men, you young boys. I want to tell you something. I appreciate you looking like men, acting like men. And I mean, I appreciate it. Oh, I know people say, oh, you're awful. But I'll tell you, I'm glad they're not up there with a bunch of purple hair. You say, oh, don't you love the people? Yeah, I love them, but that don't mean it's right, okay?
Amen.
And I can love them without approving what they're doing. And I said to myself, I'm glad they're not up there. 42 tattoos all up down there. You know, can I love you a tattoo? You bet I can. But the Bible said, don't put marks on your body. That's what God said. You don't like that? Take it up with Him. And if, by the way, a lot of folks here in church has tattoos. If you got a tattoo, every time you look at it, say, God, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. I'm going to use it remind me of your goodness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But I looked at those boys and I said, Lord, I don't see a bunch of earrings and I don't see a bunch of tattoos and I don't see a bunch of purple hair. And I'm glad, Lord, we got some boys in America that looks like men.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to miss him because of his manhood. But I'll tell you what made him a man. He could be a man and be gentle. That's where my problem's always been. I ain't been so gentle, and I ain't been so kind, and I ain't been so sweet-spirited. And I'll tell you something, I'm going to give honor where honor's due. And I'm not playing around this morning. I'm not trying to butter somebody's bread. I don't tell you, this thing has shook me to the core of my soul. I'm just thankful for young men that are doing right.
Amen.
You can be a man, don't have to be chasing girls and committing fornication. You understand that?
Amen.
The real man is the man who's able to control his passions.
Amen. Amen.
That's who the real men are.
Amen.
It's not you hound dogs chasing around.
Amen.
That's not manliness. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was 16 years old. This stupid, wicked country, all they did is make boys think that if you're not chasing women and living like the world, you're not a man.
Yeah.
Biggest lie out of hell ever was.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him because of his smile. God help us to have a smile and not a smirk. Let me tell you why he could smile, because his heart was pure. His walk was real and he was serving God. Now I want to tell you something. I don't get up very often and preach on somebody. But I am today. And I'm not exalting him above Christ, because he is like the rest of us. He is what he is by the grace of God. I'm going to miss him because of his heart for God and the gospel. He wanted to get the gospel to people. And I'm going to miss him because of his godly influence. I never had to worry about him influencing some other young person away from God. He's influencing them to God. But we will see Brother Ethan again.
Amen.
And maybe very soon. As I said this morning early, and I want to close out with this. I got out of the car last night. And I want to tell you some things that I saw in Ethan's family. There at his house was his mom and dad, his siblings. I do pray for his siblings. I'd say this is probably hard on them as anybody, his brothers and sister. And I just want, if they happen to be listening, I just want you to know, we love you. But I hadn't been preaching but just a few months. Danny, you probably remember this. We was in Myrtle, Mississippi, and I got the call from a fellow I graduated with, and his wife had backed out of the driveway and a little one-year-old boy fell out and she ran over and killed him. And I hadn't been preaching very long, and I was in Myrtle, Mississippi, and we had to leave, and I felt bad because we was in our van, the only way I had home, and we all had to leave early and stuff. But I never forget. I don't know, was you with me when I got to the house or not? Do you remember? I may have dropped you off, but I'm not going to mention the name. But I graduated with this father of this boy that was killed, and he came stumbling. I'll never forget. He came stumbling down the steps of the back porch of that house, just staggering, and he threw his arms around me. And he just said over and over again, Reggie, why? And I'm going to tell you, I hate to say it, but the man just did not have the hope that I saw last night.
Yeah.
Here's the very first words that I remember Brother Lane saying to me when he threw his arms around my neck. And I laid my head on his shoulder. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He realized a great truth that children are an heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
And they're given to us as a trust. We honestly don't own our kids.
Amen.
They're given to us as a trust. And a wise Christian and a godly Christian and a Christian who's been in the book and a father and a mother who's been in the book knows that God gave them and God can take them away.
Amen.
They belong to the Lord. And what I saw there last night, I preach this and say this just to encourage all of us. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I texted them back this morning. I said, you are handling this better than I am. That's the honest truth. But I just saw the faith. You know, every aspect was coming from the Word of God. And as I said this morning, Lane's dad, Brother Marvin, who sits here every service. Just lifted his hands to the Lord and said, Lord, I praise you. When you can praise the Lord and your grandson that he was so close to that he gave him every haircut he's ever had. When you can praise the Lord, you got something. You've got something. Does that mean he was weeping? No. Does that mean he wasn't hurting? No. Does that mean he wasn't crushed? No. But in the midst of that, what I'm getting across to you, this is where the true test of trial of Christianity comes.
Yes.
What will we do when God takes one away?
Yes.
And then I saw a third thing in that family last night, and that was this, an expectancy. This isn't it.
Amen.
Our time with Him is not over.
Amen.
We will soon see Him again. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something to the young people of this church. I want you to hear me clearly. I don't want you to miss what I'm getting ready to say. I would rather have a child die in a tragic occurrence like happened yesterday than to lose you spiritually. You kids understand that? Did you understand when you get away from God and you throw away everything you've ever been taught and you throw your faith away and you walk off from God?
Yeah.
I would rather see a death than to see a child throw away everything that's ever taught.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach on apostasy here in about two or three Sundays. Maybe next Sunday, I don't know. But what you're witnessing in America and a lot of churches is what is biblical apostasy. And we really, really need to be here when I preach this. Because it will explain a lot of what's going on. But I saw the expectancy, and when I say that, I saw the hope that this is not the end. And when Lane said to me, Reggie, the hard part will be walking by the bedroom. And he's not going to get up, and we're not going to read the Bible together, and we're not going to pray together. And they sit down at the table, and there's thy seat will be empty.
Yeah.
But when you can reach down, and that anchor holds within the veil,
Amen.
And you can say, I will see him again. David said, when that little baby died, I cannot go to him. He cannot return to me, but I shall go to him. He was living in the expectancy of seeing him again. And then I just want to close by saying this, that even in the midst of the grief and the deep, deep sorrow and the shock, I mean, when you're calling funeral homes out of state and asking how we're going to get the body back and all this kind of stuff, and you can't even absorb the shock that they're gone. It's rough. But I saw the joy of their faith. Not some kind of silliness, not some kind of put on, you know, trying to act like it ain't, you know. In the midst of that grief, in the midst of that sorrow, I saw joy of knowing that God's promises are true. And the joy of knowing, and if If Sister Sonia said this once, she said it four or five times. Just knowing that he was saved, just knowing that he was saved is everything.
Amen.
Just knowing that he was saved. I want to ask this congregation this morning, I want to ask those that are listening to me, if it had been you yesterday at 1 to 1:30 in the afternoon, out with friends and having a good time, and God had taken you home, or God would have taken you out of this world. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Do you know for certain that you'd be in heaven with the Lord? You say, Reggie, I don't, and I'd like to know for sure how I can be certain. I'm going to tell you. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world, conceived of the Holy Ghost and born and conceived in the womb of a virgin. And he was God, watch this, in the flesh.
Right.
God Almighty in flesh. And he lived a sinless, perfect life. And as such became the perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay the penalty of death for the entire world. And Jesus died in your place for your sin. And that's the only thing God will ever accept is your faith in him. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died for my sin in my place and took my penalty and my death and my separation from God. That's why Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook his son that he could receive you to himself. And Jesus died for you, was buried, but he rose again. Now listen, don't miss this. He rose on the third day to give you eternal life, and he overcame and conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
And here's, I want you to get this. Salvation is absolutely free.
Amen.
It is a gift, and God gives it to the person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You believe the gospel, that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again. You come to God as a repentant, guilty sinner, knowing that you're worthy of death, knowing the wrath of God is already upon you, and you come to him for mercy and for forgiveness and trust him and receive him and his gospel. God will save you. And what God will do will give you eternal life. This is not some kind of a do-better project. This is an act of salvation that God does within you. To the repentant, believing sinner, God saves him and justifies him and gives him eternal life. Listen to the Bible. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then he said this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, watch now, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know. Do you know? Do you know? Had it been you went out into eternity yesterday, where would you be, in hell or heaven? Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. If Ethan had not been saved and died, he'd be burning and screaming in hell right now, but he's not because of what Jesus did for him.
Amen.
Okay? But if you're lost here today, I'm going to tell you something right now. You die without Christ, you will bust hell wide open, and you'll never, ever, ever have another opportunity of being saved. It's over. As the tree falleth, so shall it lie. How will you fall? Will you fall on the arms of Jesus and his mercy and his grace? Or will you fall into the depths of eternal separation from God in the lake of fire? Where will you be? You say, well, Reggie, I'm lost. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? C.H. Spurgeon said, the man that will not think about where he spends eternity and do something about it is worse than a fool. He's a madman. And I'm going to tell you right now, I said this morning, just minutes before he died, they were singing Amazing Grace in that cave. Some of them came out, went on back down the trail, and some of them went up to walk on the hiking trail. You don't know when you're going to die. Now, if there's something good going to come out of this, it's time to think seriously about your faith. Are you really saved? Are you just a putting on? Have you actually been born again of the Spirit of God or not? It is nothing to play with. I went to that. If I didn't believe this, I wouldn't even take my Bible with me. I'd walk out of here, go eat ice cream, go to the house and sleep this afternoon. This thing is real. I want us to bow our heads together today. Today would be a good day for you to be saved, wouldn't it? I want to ask you a question right now. I'm very aware that there'll be a last time I'm in this pulpit and a last time I have a chance to give the gospel. But I want to tell you something. Listen, I want you to listen. Please, please listen to the Word of God. The Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth." The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. There's a reason for that. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I want to ask you a question. Someday, you're going to come to grips with this. Now, it'd be a good day to do it today. How many in this building? I'm a preacher. This is my business. Are you understanding that? This is my business. That's what God's called me to do. You say, Reggie, mind your own business. I'm minding my own business. Are you saved? If you're saved today and you know based upon Scripture and based upon the fact that God has saved you and the Spirit of God indwells you and you know that, could you raise your hand today and say, God, I thank you that when it's time to go, I'm saved and on my road to heaven through Jesus' blood, and I'm trusting nothing but Jesus Christ and His righteousness for the salvation of my soul. God, I thank you for that today. Would you just say, Lord, would you just tell Him thank you right now? Would you just say, Lord, I thank you. Amen. You may put them down. I want to ask you a question. I can't see everywhere, but I'm telling you, I love you. I'm not here to hurt you, not here to embarrass you, nothing of the kind. But you know something? You're going to not worry about being embarrassed at the day of judgment. You're going to stand before God, and I'm going to tell you something. You're going to give an account, and it's going to be real. So you need to get over worrying about, you're in the safest space there is to get saved in the world right now. You're around people that loves you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand, but I want to be able to and I'm lost and I appreciate your prayers, would you slip your hand up right now? Just up and down, quickly, up and down. I see that hand there. God bless you. Is there others' hands? Raise them up right and say, I want to pray for you. I want you to get saved today. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not this afternoon. Is there another one anywhere? Up and down. Up and down. Just up high. I'm lost. I could not raise my hand. I'd like to be sure. Now, let me just tell you something. You can get saved right where you're sitting. You can get saved right where you're sitting. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and from your heart place your faith in Jesus Christ and call upon the Lord to save you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to trust Christ as my Savior, that He died for me and was buried and rose again. He is my Savior. I claim Christ as my Savior today. I pray that you'll do that. Father in heaven, there's one hand raised today. I thank you for their honesty. And God, I pray today they'll shell out the corn and get right with God and Lord, get saved and call upon and place their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, others who, Lord, are battling, they're struggling, they do not understand some things. There's barriers. Satan's lied to them. There's fear. There's whatever, Lord, it is. I don't know. But Lord, there's it seems like 1,000 excuses the devil can give people. God, I pray that they'll throw all of that aside and come to the place where you got me, that they're not going to hell over what anybody thinks. Save people, God, I pray, even on the broadcast now as people are listening. God, we want to thank you for the sweet memory of Ethan Lakey, and pray, God, today that you'll put your arms around that family and hold them and help them. And Lord, just sustain them by your mighty grace. Your comfort, Lord, is what they need today. Help this church to do what we can do to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Again, if you're not